You're tuned in to the Health After 30 podcast. And in today's episode, we're talking about the five levels of the soul and how you can integrate that and adapt that to holistic health. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Health After 30 podcast. Alana Bonneman here with you. Thank you so much for being here. You could have been anywhere, but you're here with me, interested in yourself and your health and how you can grow, heal, and become the version of yourself that connects with a higher purpose, lives a soulful life. That is the foundation of today's episode. Mayim Vega is my guest today. She's a former computer scientist and engineer for NASA, but through her own health journey, she led her way to holistic health. So she kind of has the logical understanding of why we need to apply things to health and not just the, I want to be a health coach approach to it all. What she integrates really nicely in her whole approach is her understanding, I guess, of religion, but spirituality as well. And the aspects of our life that we can focus on, which is going to promote our overall health. She kind of takes us through these five different levels that help us to not only feel well, less stressed, emotionally balanced, but basically help us show up better in our life, in the world, and creating, in essence, a better place. It was such a pleasure chatting with Mayim. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Alana Bonneman, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. I'm joined with Mayim Vega today, and we're going to let her take the floor first. And Mayim, can you tell us what we're going to expect in this episode?
Yes, well, we're going to talk about holistic health and healing. I'd love to talk about the five levels of the soul and how that affects our health and wellness. And just have a good time.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Five levels of the soul of health and wellness. That sounds so intriguing because I'm a firm believer, and I feel like I say this all the time, but you can know all the things. You can be doing all the things, you know, health-wise, all the textbook stuff, doing all the modalities, but you might not see results. And I think maybe this is might be where, yeah, something that you have to talk about. How did you get to where you are? Because you have quite an interesting story. Do you want to give us maybe just a brief introduction of your health journey?
Yes. So I always like to start with, you know, I was a computer scientist at the NASA Ames Research Center. And I always like to say that because being in the holistic health realm, people think, oh, they're just, you know, frou-frou. They don't really
very fairy.
No, I'm very scientific, rationally minded. You know, I go through a very a logical process when I determine what will help me or another person. So I started out as a computer scientist at NASA, and then I got married, had my first child, and I went back to work after my 6 month leave, and they had a great like childcare program where I could just go right outside the security gate and breastfeed my baby and then come back to work. But I still felt lacking. I still felt empty and like I really wanted to be with my baby full time, really. Because what animal in nature does that? Like gives birth to a child and then puts them in the care of strangers for the majority of the day and then just to join with them, you know, and sleep with them. You know, I felt empty. And so I decided to quit my career and be a work from home mom, not just a stay at home mom, because we lived in the Silicon Valley in California there and it was very expensive. So, I started an app development, and website and digital marketing business, mostly for high tech companies in the Silicon Valley. And then about after my second child, I started getting really sick. I started getting debilitating migraines where I thought that, I thought I was on my deathbed, really. I was not able to do my business anymore. I was not able to take care of my children properly anymore. And then at the point where I couldn't sleep anymore, that's when we went to an emergency room And they ran a bunch of tests on me, and they gave me a CT scan. And initially, the doctor thought that I had a brain tumor, but she ruled out that possibility and basically said, you know, we just don't know what's wrong with you. So that's when I decided to just take charge of my own health. And I started studying nutrition and herbalism, holistic health, enrolled in some certification programs. And I eventually found my answer, and it was very holistic. It wasn't like one thing, you know, as a naturopathic herbalist, oftentimes people come and ask me, they say, you know, what herb can I take for this or that? And it's like, well, they're approaching me, even though I'm a naturopathic herbalist, they're still approaching me in a very non-holistic way in terms of, you know, because they're saying, what is the one thing that I can do to kind of magically make all my problems go away? And that kind of attitude and approach does not give a holistic answer, and it doesn't deal with the root cause. So I always say, no, I can't. That's not how it works. I need to know you. I need to understand what the full spectrum of what you're facing, and how you're living, and how you're eating, and what you're taking, and things like that. And then I can help you. Because if I give them, I say, oh, well, this one or two different herbs can help with this one or two different symptoms, and it doesn't work, they're going to blame me or the herb. When it's like, well, it's usually deeper than that, you know, for true lasting relief.
We have that, it's kind of ingrained in us, this prescriptive type of medicate, or just that one pill that kind of fixes everything. And I think, you know, conventional medicine has definitely its place, but just that mentality of quick fix, quick symptomatic relief, it doesn't address the whole person. And I completely agree. When you're taking a holistic approach, it's never just one thing.
Yeah. It could be one thing if you are already knowledgeable and you're already, you know, living, you know, the kind of life that you should be. So for example, if any of my children come to me and they say, oh, I have a headache, I know how they're eating. I know what stresses are going on. I know what kind of sleep they're getting. So I'm like, oh, just try this or just try this. And then, you know, it often works. Or, oh, you need to get better sleep. Or you need to stop worrying about that thing, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it really has to be a holistic approach.
Yes, you're right. The first thing that kind of came to mind was celiacs. You know, if you are celiac, then stop eating gluten. That will be the one thing which is going to, you know, help with all your symptoms. But very rarely, I mean, sometimes that's the case, but very rarely. There's often more going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a place to start, since it's such a common problem, especially in America, I think. I'm not sure how common celiac disease or gluten sensitivity is in Germany or Australia, but I know that because of the use of glyphosate here in America, it's a lot worse of an issue than in Europe.
I mean, gluten sensitivity is definitely, or intolerance is a thing, but having the autoimmune conditions, I think it's growing also in Australia as well, just the sensitivity to it. So taking a holistic approach, you know, people often think, okay, so eating, moving, sleeping, managing stress, that's holistic. Doing all those outward things, all the things that you can kind of control.
The Aruka method, so that's the method that I use, that I developed. And then it's the Aruka method: discover your purpose, understand the five levels of the soul, and become a holistic healer. I think that's too long, but that's kind of like, I kind of feel like that covers everything.
It's the working title. It's the working title, and it says what it is. So there's a lot of aspects that I like about this. I humbly believe that every person has the ability to be their own healer. I think, you know, doctors and psychologists and physios and naturopaths and herbalists and massage therapists and all the rest of every modality, dentists, you know, they're all super amazing. And they have a lot of expertise, but often we know ourselves best. You know, we can understand ourselves best. So when I think of, you know, being our own healer, that's also what I, that's also kind of how I hear that as well. But do you just want to maybe break down what these five things are?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I just like to start by saying that, you know, Hippocrates he has the famous quote where he says, and of course he's known as the father of medicine, right? And he says that the greatest medicine of all is teaching people how not to need it, and that everyone has a doctor inside him or her, and we just have to help it in its work. And Beautiful. The word doctor comes from the root of the word, which means to teach, right? So doctor, doctrine is a teaching. And so a doctor, originally, that was supposed to mean that you are such a master of your field, whatever given field you choose, that you are able to masterfully teach that subject. And that's what a true doctor is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a pill pusher or, you know, a drug dealer or someone that, you know, something like this. It's supposed to be someone who teaches you. So I think that, you know, true holistic healers, that's in essence what they are. And I believe that if you are truly a holistic healer, that you're going to be teaching, well, you know, for me, it's five because I'm Jewish and I have a religious, you know, sort of aspect to my work and to my theory. Perhaps if you don't share my religious beliefs, you'd agree with, you know, maybe three or four or, you know, out of it, right? So the first level of the soul is based on the Hebrew word nefesh. And so this word is used in the Bible. For example, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So this is nefesh chaya. That actually uses two of the words. So the word nefesh is kind of like our very fundamental level, and it represents our physical vitality and instinctive life force. And this is part of the soul that sustains our physical body, that, you know, has everything to do with, you know, exercising and diet and nutrition and things like this. So this is it's like our physical selves, you know, and our physical needs. And this is very foundational for health and healing. And but you can't stop there. And so, for example, when I got really sick, they're basically just very debilitating migraines. One of the first things that I found that helped me was supplementing with B12. Now, I tried a bunch of different things, but this was the first thing that actually worked. And it worked better than medications. It worked better than the pain relievers, even the one that the doctor gave me. So I said, okay, so B12 helps me. So it helped my nefesh. I had a B12 deficiency, right? So then the next level of the soul, and they're not necessarily in any particular order, but the next one that I'll mention is the ruach. It's called ruach in Hebrew. And this usually corresponds, it means spirit or wind also. It's like an invisible force, you know? And so in the Bible, it talks about the spirit of anger, the spirit of timidity, things like that, you know, it's like a distress or the spirit of a oppression, you know, it's like a feeling, it's like your emotional self, you know. And so that's another part of our health that we need to make sure is healthy, you know. Not that any emotion is bad. All of our emotions are gifts, and they're there to protect us and inspire us to do what we need to do in life, right? Whether they are the positive, you know, feeling emotions like happiness and things like that, or they're the what we consider maybe negative, like sadness or anger. It doesn't matter. None of them are bad or evil. They're just part of the human spectrum, and we just need to learn to first, I think, accept them and allow them into our lives and process them, allow ourselves to process them instead of demonizing a certain emotion or something like that. And then also not let it control us, but let, you know, ultimately let ourselves manage our emotions so that we can get through the things that we need to get through, and then maybe even revisit them when we have to.
That's really beautiful. I actually read something the other day talking about anger, because anger is something no one, like, we don't like feeling it. And you're right, you know, you push it to the side. We don't process it. We very rarely accept it. And this author said, and we never listen to it. And I just really appreciated how she kind of said, anger is the boundary where your body is saying, I've experienced this before, and this is the boundary as far as I go. And to not accept that and process it and listen to it, it's almost counterintuitive. But because it's such an unpleasant feeling or it causes distress, we usually just flee the scene. So that, yeah, I love that you're mentioning that.
But yes, that's right. And I mean, obviously there's extremes to anger that we definitely don't want to let control our actions, but just acknowledging why you're angry and realizing that the anger, it could be there to protect you. And, you know, what's a healthy way to acknowledge this anger? I think that is very, it can be preserving because it's part of the fight or flight response, which is ultimately there to protect us, you know, and get us out of trouble. So, yeah, absolutely.
So we've got the physical, I almost want to say biochemical side, you know, the nutrition, perhaps like the detox pathways, the body, getting fit. Then we have this is the emotional aspect. All the spectrum of the emotions. So this is the second one. What's the third?
Right. So the third, I would say, is the neshama. And this also is sometimes translated as breath, just like ruach. In Genesis, it says that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath, which is nishmat, neshama, of life, and man became a living being. So this is, you know, this is starting now to connect us to the divine. And this specifically, neshama, I believe it's connected to knowledge, really. In the Bible, in Hosea, it says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And I know people don't really think that this is part of health, but it absolutely is. You know, I think that people suffer today because they don't have the knowledge of what is healthy, what is not, what they have to take care of, you know, things like that. And so when it talks about perishing for lack of knowledge, I believe this is talking about knowledge in really all areas of life. I mean, spiritual knowledge, you know, as the Bible talks about, but also knowledge of health, of science, emotional intelligence, you know, all different types of intelligence, even like how the world works, even financial knowledge. I mean, finances can affect your stress levels, which can affect your health. So all kinds of knowledge is really, really important for our health. So I'm Jewish, and, you know, I really feel like Judaism is a very erudite religion. You know, we really care about, you know, how to think, you know, how to think, how to understand things, and also acknowledging the wisdom of the sages of the past. And I think this is also very important, not just religious sages, but, you know, like, let's say the four founders of, you know, our nation, or, you know, whatever, history, learning from science, just everything. I think this is a very important part of health. And not to, just like you were saying, you know, not to relegate our health and wellness to an expert, but to really take responsibility for our health by making sure that we ourselves have the knowledge of what is making us sick or what can make us well. And it used to be that we used to rely on our mothers, the elders of our tribe or our community. So it used to be that part of our soul, our intellectual soul, was more treasured and valued, and it was kept within, it was kept closer to us instead of relegating it to experts who have spent thousands of dollars on an education, which may be incomplete. You know, it's not like I don't respect a doctorate degree, but it's specific to one area and one kind of discipline, and it might not be what you need, really.
Exactly. Even when you do need a specialist, can be super beneficial, but only if you have that very specific thing that that person has been working on. I really like this idea of information, knowledge, just because at the time that we are living right now, you know, there's information everywhere. And I really appreciated how you kind of talked about information, knowledge, not only what we are available to, but just from, but also towards where we have come from, you know, who has been before us, and what the knowledge that they know, also internally, what knowledge we already have. So often that power is shifted. We shift that power because we've just lost that art to even know how to listen.
To trust ourselves, to trust our intellects.
Mm.
I think even more, I feel like even more so as women, sometimes, you know, we're kind of taught to not trust ourselves sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting. I was chatting with my partner the other day about, you know, just got to listen to your body. If you're not feeling well, you just got to listen. And at some point I just had to say, you know what? Once a month, there's something that happens to me, which I cannot control. Women menstruate. I think, you know, if there's anything that women know how, like, to be able to listen to their body when they don't have control over a certain thing, it's like being, like having food poisoning, you know. It's like you can't control what's happening. It just happens to you. And you have to listen to your body to rest. And he's saying, you know, you got to rest, you got to rest. I'm like, but I think women, yeah, as you said, I think women have more of that intuitive feel just because they do experience something every month where they have to actually tune in to the body's cycle. Although that one could argue that's also getting more and more removed from, you know, not actually having a cycle or whatever it is. But just in general, I do feel that women have that innate ability that comes a bit easier, perhaps.
Also, you know, that the opposite sex can't really understand or, you know, 'cause they don't experience it. So we have to, at least in that sense, we have to trust our bodies and our relationship to our bodies. That's really good. And that's another thing, I guess, also that we've lost is the female figure being the healer, you know, the medicine woman, the mom's home remedies, you know, type of thing. It's oftentimes being, what's it called? You know, dismissed by experts and authorities. But, you know, but then they're starting to rediscover also the wisdom of the past. I remember there was a time when they were saying that that infant formula was healthier than breast milk, because they could control what goes in it, and they knew that it was the exact, you know, perfect nutrition for the baby. And it's like, oh, you think you're better than nature.
The human body, yeah. Which
they took that back, but
yeah.
The audacity of
what we think we know.
Yeah.
It sounds like so far, like actually all of these things, they're kind of intertwined. I mean, we've only got to the three of the five at the moment, but all of it's all, I mean, as you said, it's not linear. It's not one before the other. It sounds like it's almost a pie chart of how this works for us.
Yeah, they affect each other for sure. Because the more you know, the more you'll take better care of your physical body and your emotional health. So they're so, and then if you take care of your physical health, your body will be more equipped to have emotional stability, right? And so they all affect each other, really. And then the fourth level is Haya. And this is something that, you know, even the animals have this. Actually, the animals have some of the other ones too, but the animals have Haya. And Haya has to do with our life and what we do with our life, you know, living a life of purpose. And the Bible talks about how even the animals, you know, they do things that they're supposed to do instinctively and naturally. Sometimes we are so intelligent that we kind of sometimes reason things away that we should instinctively know, you know, sometimes. And so I think that Haya is really important, and living a life of purpose, you know. And what is that purpose? I believe as a Jew is that we are placed on this earth to be kind of co-creators with God, meaning that especially, you know, we live in an imperfect world, and I believe that that's intentional so that we can have a place, a part to play in this world to help improve it. So there's this idea of tikkun olam, which means repair of the world or healing the world, which means that when we see something kind of missing or lacking or hurting, you know, in the world, and we have the gift or the skill or the talent to help fix it, then that becomes our purpose, that becomes our job. And certainly, you know, for women and human beings, you know, part of that purpose is taking care of our children. And then for me, you know, I naturally had, you know, a lot of talents when it involved computer science, obviously. So I got into that realm. And then when I learned all of this, like, holistic health knowledge, I was like, well, then this becomes part of my purpose, you know, to help people with this holistic health knowledge. And I was able to kind of integrate everything, you know, my computer science, my health and wellness knowledge, my role as a mother, as a person of faith. And this all kind of became, you know, really part of my practice as a holistic healer. And so just living a life of purpose and the fulfillment that you can get from it, you know, everything that you reap, everything that you sow into this world, you will also reap in rewards in terms of, you know, gratitude from others and, you know, physical blessing, you know, monetary, a sense of purpose and fulfillment. And this has to do with our health. You know, how many stories have we heard of people who are rich and famous who feel empty inside, you know, and feel that there's still something lacking and they need more than just fame and money? You know, so I think this is part of holistic health and wellness as well. If I didn't stop working in my previous career to pursue being a work from home mom, I think there would have been a hole in my soul, you know, that would have prevented me from, I would say, reaching my ultimate level of joy in life. And so I had to pursue that, you know, and sometimes we have to do that at some point in our life. I think that sometimes people aren't secure enough to pursue those kinds of goals until they're older. I mean, it's okay, you know, when you just pursue it when you can, but I do believe that we have to pursue it at some point in our lives and not ignore that.
That's a really good point. I think everyone is on their own, I want to call it a journey path. Healing from pain, healing from trauma, finding their way. And then at the same time, kind of being really confused at what society is telling us if you really want to be doing that. Because for someone who feels stuck, like it's not really working, they might like what they're doing, nice colleagues, like it's okay, but it's not, they're not feeling that fulfillment. And what I'm kind of discovering myself, unraveling a little bit, is there's actually, before we can even go and just kind of follow our passions and our purpose, there's actually a lot of things that hold us back from getting there, and to work on those to be able to get there. That's just a personal thing that I've experienced, but I completely agree. And I also really like how you say that we live in an imperfect world, and perhaps it's that way for people to be able to bring their gifts that can contribute. It's like building a house together. It's a work in progress, which everyone kind of brings a skill to.
Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, necessarily everyone has to be like me and give up a previous career and pursue a completely new one. I mean, there's people who also, you know, they kind of they'll have their full-time job, but on the side, they'll pursue a passion or maybe a charitable cause or something like that, and their regular job will fuel their what they feel is their calling or their destiny or their purpose, and things like that. So you know, living a life of purpose doesn't have to look the same to everyone, you know.
That's a good point. It's a good point, because stability is also a very important part of life. So what's the fifth key element part?
Yeah, the soul. The fifth level of the soul is yahida, or oneness. So it comes from the root word, which means one or singular. And this has to do, this is the part that is probably most deeply spiritual or religious. And that this has to do with our soul's ultimate, I believe, unity and intimate oneness with our creator, and just fully being in harmony with our divine purpose. So the previous level of the soul, haya, living a life of purpose, you don't have to necessarily believe in any kind of higher power to live that kind of life, you know, right? But when it comes to yachida, I do think this is really about acknowledging the oneness of with the divine and even all of creation. Because, well, according to like the Torah and Judaism, there's once nothing except for the divine. And then from the divine, we have everything else. So that means that everything is birthed from the divine. Therefore, in a sense, there is a divine nature to everything, which all comes from one source. And so Jesus also, he said, I and the Father are one. And I don't believe he was trying to place himself above everyone else when he said that, because he later also said, I pray that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us. And so I think that if humanity, you know, held on to this oneness, this idea of oneness being one with God, then we can, you know, stop the wars, stop the fighting, stop the things like that. And this is perhaps a higher, you know, a higher sense of health and wellness that is maybe more difficult to attain, because how can you be one with your enemy? How can you be one with people that hurt you, you know, no matter how serious it is? How can you be one with people who have abused you or have abused, you know, others in the past? And I think for me that, you know, there's a verse in the Bible which says that God forms light, but he also creates darkness, and that he makes peace and he also creates adversity, and that he does all these things. So that sounds almost wicked, but I think that the whole purpose of both good and evil is to strengthen us. Just like, you know, you can't build muscle unless it's torn apart. Well, we can't appreciate good unless we understand what evil is. And so it's just part of the process of learning.
And I've been reading and working through stuff like this as well. There is no light without dark. I lived in Germany now for 10 years, and I came from Australia, a sunny place, the Gold Coast, surfers paradise, a lot of happiness there, a lot of sun. Came to Germany and started living through German winters. And then I realized that actually it is not the goal to be happy all the time, because only when you have sadness can you appreciate the happiness. And I think it's the same with the dark. You know, at the nighttime you appreciate the sunrise because you've lived through the dark. The adversity, you know, allows the good to be there. So, I agree with that. And I also completely agree that the oneness in all of us, I feel like that's the rational brain that tells us that we perhaps need to follow this career path instead of being a dancer or whatever it is, you know, like this rational brain that kind of says, no, I identify with this and therefore I'm therefore in this group, rather than we're actually all just, you know, animals living here together. So yeah, I think there's just a bit of disconnect in everything from all five levels that you've talked about. One, we all, I think, need to just find, reconnect.
Our divine soul, I believe. Also, you know, a lot of, if I hadn't experienced all the darkness and pain and, you know, health issues in my life, I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't be able to help other people heal holistically. Mm-hmm. And even like I'm looking at my marriage, you know, my husband and I had some, you know, difficult childhoods and backgrounds and trauma that we brought together into our marriage, and which caused problems in the beginning. But now, having gone through them, I do believe that we have a kind of intimacy, and we've shown each other a level of forgiveness and tolerance and patience that not a lot of people, a lot of couples have been able to experience, you know. So, you know, from all of the evil or the bad experiences, good can come out of it, depending on how we deal with it. And I think that is the challenge for all of us, is to see how all of our hardships and our difficulties how we can turn them into challenges that will instead help us be better and be more, have deeper relationships, deeper knowledge because of the challenges, etc.
Yeah, I often take that back to it's how we see the world. You know, I think Albert Einstein has a really nice saying. It's kind of like one of the most important things you can learn is, you know, do you see the world as friendly or hostile? And, you know, I feel like that's the beginning of it all, because of course we're going to have hard times, pain, trauma, experiences like this. And if we choose that that we can see these challenges and grow from these challenges, then we do end up on the other side feeling well, feeling in a better place, growth, healthier, a more abundant order, you know, so on and so
forth. Also, I'd say I use the word victorious, because there's no victory unless there's adversity and conflict.
Yeah, wonderful. So can you just quickly summarize what the five levels of the soul are?
Okay, sure. A quick review, right?
Yeah, just like restricted.
Yeah, we've got nefesh, which is our physical body, you know, and then we have the ruach, which is more about emotional health. And then we have neshama, which is intellectual, the intellectual part of our souls. Haya, which is, you know, what we do with our lives. Purpose. And we have yechida, which is our connection with the divine.
Beautiful. Beautiful. It's, yeah, it's something that I think we all need to perhaps tap into. And you've just put a very different spin on holistic health. Because it's not about just the supplements.
Yeah, these are not, I didn't make these five levels up. This is part of Judaism. I'm just connecting it to health and wellness, right? But also I'd like to share my personal story. So in terms of back to my B12 deficiency, right? In the beginning, I was B12 deficient. And then so I said, okay, well, why am I B12 deficient? Well, it was because I realized it was because I was vegetarian pursuing veganism. And so that allowed certain deficiencies. And so I had to stop doing that. And I had to start eating more dairy and eggs and fish and things like that. Eventually red meat and chicken too. But then I questioned and I said, why are there's other vegetarians and vegans around and they're not experiencing the kind of debilitating pain that I'm experiencing? Why am I facing those things? And then I realized, then I got to the ruach level, which is I was emotionally unwell because I was stressed out with all the stress of having my brand new business and worrying about, you know, where my income would come from while balancing being a new mom and, you know, being a new wife and things like that. And so I had to just, you know, stop worrying about that and trusting in the process, you know, process of life, process of entrepreneurship, the process of marriage, the process of parenthood. And so when I finally let go of those things, then I was healed in my nefesh physically and in my ruach, you know, emotionally, because I sharpened my neshama. I strengthened my neshama, which was my intellect, in terms of studying all these things and why, you know, why.
Yeah, beautiful. And then that ultimately led to your purpose, where you feel fulfilled.
Right.
And I would almost say the fifth element was probably something that already was within you and has now come full circle on the other side of this.
Right. I think understanding or being full or well in our yechida, I think that's a lifelong journey. And probably every single trial is going to challenge the health of that. You know, like, why, God, did you allow this? Right. Mm. So I think that's going to happen throughout your life.
Yeah. That's the process though, isn't it though? Yeah. That's continuing. Wonderful. So beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing this. You have a book coming out about this soon.
Right. It's about everything that I just said, just kind of described more and more. It talks about my program as well. I mean, I'm going to make it available probably when this gets published, but it's not final yet. I don't have the title finalized. I'll probably edit some things out, but yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. We'll be in contact and I'll pop the links into the show notes for those who are interested. And Otherwise, where can people find you?
Yes, so aruka.com. If you click on, there's a link called Become a Healer. You'll get this book and a little video series that I made. They're short books. They're not long books.
Yeah, beautiful. And as a closing question, I guess I want to ask, what's something that you firmly believe but hasn't been proved by science yet?
Probably a lot of the things. Actually, you know, the things that I said, I think science or there has been research to prove a lot of it. Certainly the first two, you know, Nefesh and Ruach, I think there's a lot of science that shows that, you know, taking care of your body obviously is going to help you be healthy and well, and having emotional intelligence and emotional health. I think there's a lot of proof that that gives you a better life. I think there's also emerging things that are showing that, being able to manage your emotions and things like that can also help you with your physical health. I think that's kind of emerging. In terms of your intellect and how that can prove your or benefit your health, I think that's just logical. You know, if you know more, you can be more healthy. In terms of living a life of purpose and how that affects your health and wellness, I think there's been a lot of anecdotal, you know, stories about how that has helped. There's an interesting story I remember about how there is a man who was sort of on his deathbed and people were just sobbing and thinking that he was going to die. And a rabbi came and said to him, you know, we need you. He had some kind of function at his synagogue where I think he ordered the books on the bookshelf. You know, he was like, we need you. The bookshelf's a mess now that you're not here. And he was like, oh no. And it kind of like, you know,
jumped out of bed.
Yeah, because he didn't have any children, you know, they were grown. He felt like he wasn't really needed there. But it gave him purpose to know that, you know, at his synagogue, he was needed for this, even if it was a minor thing. And I don't know if it really, you know, had an effect, but it seemed to, from that type on, it seemed like he fought more to survive and live and listen to the doctors and things like that. And he came back to health. So maybe that is just more the Chaya and Yechida. I think I would say those things science hasn't really proven, but that doesn't mean that humans haven't experienced it and it's not true.
Yeah, beautiful. Awesome. Mayim, thank you so much for being here. It was a wonderful conversation.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. You could have been listening to anything, but you're here interested in reclaiming your health. I hope you found the episode useful and constructive. If you enjoyed it and would like to show support for the show, please leave a review, as this makes my content more discoverable for other people to enjoy and learn from. Please also consider subscribing to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Finally, the best way to show support for the show is by sharing it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Thanks for listening. Be well, and I'll catch you next time.